Om Shanti, everyone. So our today's topic is to know our ancestor souls. And Sister Suman is going to walk us with our ancestor souls today. It is my great pleasure to introduce all of you with Sister Suman. She has been in Gyan since her childhood. Her parents came in Gyan when she was 5 years old. She is surrendered in Madhuban since 1992. She is serving in Gyan Sarovar ever since Gyan Sarovar was built, which is in 1996. She is in the team of double foreigners and she coordinates all the events, whether it's season for double foreigners or whether it's off season for the double foreigners. She coordinates all the events in Gyan Sarovar. She is national coordinator of education wing in India. Let's dive in the stories of our yagya with our ancestor souls with Sister Suman. Om Shanti. Sister Suman.
Om Shanti. It's the month of January and we often listen to yagya stories at this time and also the stories of Brahma Baba, how the yagya was all started. And along with that is the stories of dadis as well. Because when God descends on this earth, He needs human beings, right, to establish golden age. So these are the most fortunate ones whom God chose to be His medium to establish golden age on this earth. Right? And now whatever we see, because Brahma Kumari's organization is worldwide now, it has a different form, right? It's a huge form now, right? But it all started with a small spring, right? So how it started and what are the sacrifices that our dadis and dadas did so that it was able to take such a huge form now. Of course, these souls are the pillars of the yagya. When we look at a huge building, we don't see the foundation. We just see the building, the beauty of that building, how high it is. But if the foundation is deep, only then that building can be that tall, right? So now when we look at this organization, we understand the foundation, how powerful and how strong it all started with, right? So in few minutes, you know, I have just 1.5 hours. So in this given time, as far as possible, I'll just, you know, narrate the stories and whatever I have heard, whatever I have read. So I'll just try to share. I won't be able to do justice the whole, all the ancestors, because there were 350 dadis and dadas, right? So we won't be able to listen to all the stories, but maybe few, right? So I won't be speaking about Baba or Mama, because might be you have heard about it, or then we will, or we will can have any other session for that. But I'm going to share the stories of those dadis which you have not, might have not heard so much of. The first and foremost is Mother Yashoda. Well, you must be knowing Mother Yashoda was the Laukik wife of Dada Lake Raj. And the amount of sacrifice that she had done is immense. You see that photograph below. It's the Laukik family of Dada Lake Raj. Baba had four, the eldest one who is standing in between is Kishan Dada, the elder son. And next to him is Brijendra Dadi, Laukik wife of Kishan Dada. And to the right is Nirmashanta Dadi. Nirmashanta Dadi was the third child of Dada Lake Raj. Second child was just left body after a few years of birth. So Nirmashanta Dadi was the third child. And then you see a daughter sitting next to Dada Lake Raj, that is Puttu Dadi, or Navnidhi Dadi we say. And then towards the Yashoda Mata is Narayan Dada. And with Brahma Baba, it's the last child, Surya Dadi. So these were the children of Brahma Baba, Dada Lake Raj we can say. And Yashoda Ma was very oriented towards bhakti, devotion. Since her childhood, she did lot of devotion. And when Brahma Baba was around 60 years of age, Yashoda, Mother Yashoda would always tell him, now I think you should wind up your business and start to, devote more of your time towards devotion and remembering God. And it is because of Yashoda Mata that Dada Lake Raj became more devoted. Of course, he had, both of them had a lot of, a very good royal sanskars. Even during the time when they didn't know about Baba, Shiv Baba. They, both of them, never spoke loudly at their homes, and never, scolded their children, even Brahma Baba or Yashoda Mata. They never scolded their children or never beat them up. If any children did any mischief, they used to give lot of love and give them the teachings that you should not be doing so. Because of the orientation towards devotion and the sanskar, because their business, Brahma Baba's business was so extensive in three places, in Sindh, Hyderabad, Calcutta and Bombay, Baba had business. And they used to travel in all, wherever Baba went, Yashoda Mata used to accompany him. And once what happened was, Laukik mother of Yashoda Mata visited Brahma Baba's house. And Baba was sitting in the at the front of the house, and he saw her coming. And he went inside and told Yashoda Mata that your stepmother has come. And he spoke a little bit louder that could be heard by her mother. Yashoda Mata's mother could hear the voice. But later on he realized that you shouldn't have told like your stepmother has come. But after a few minutes they stayed and she talked and whatever work she had come, she finished and she left. And Baba also left for his business to his shop. And in the evening, when Baba came back, Yashoda Mata said, okay, come for dinner. Baba said, no, I don't want to have dinner. But then Yashoda Mata asked, why? Why you don't want to have dinner? He said, because when your mother came, instead of telling that your mother has come, I said, your stepmother has come. Might be she has overheard me, and she might have felt bad because I called her stepmother. So this is a mistake that I did today. So for that, I now I'm guilty about it. So I don't want to have food. So then Yashoda Mata said, okay, if you don't want to have food, then have some milk before going to sleep. Then Baba said, no, I don't want to have milk also. So then next day, early in the morning, Baba took Yashoda Mata to her Laukik home, her mother's home. And when they both visited their house, Yashoda Mata's parents' house, they were very happy to welcome their son-in-law and daughter. And then later on they asked, the father and mother, they both asked, why have you come early in the morning today? So Yashoda Mata said, because yesterday this is what happened, so he is very feeling guilty, so he wants to ask sorry for you. So that's the reason he is here. And Yashoda Mata's mother said, so it's okay, you know, like in those days, son-in-law was, you know, was given a lot of respect. And, you know, it was very casual to speak hard words, you know, like harsh words. But then here, Baba's sanskars were so royal, even at that time. Like, even if he has spoken this word and if he has hurt anyone, anyone's mind, anyone's heart, he used to feel very sorry. And he went and asked sorry for his mother-in-law. And then after that only he came and ate. So he was able to understand the feelings of others. So that was the level of efforts that he used to make even at that time on the path of devotion also. I think that's the reason might be God himself chose Brahma Baba, because of his royalty, because of the level of spirituality and the level of inculcation that he was practicing in his life. So likewise, Yashoda Mata was also so royal, very soft-spoken and very spiritual, very religious at that time. And we can feel the amount of sacrifices that dadis have done, but when Yashoda Mata came to know that Brahma Baba, this is Brahma Baba, and you know, God himself has descended in my husband's body. So everything changed, right? It was just a family of 8-10 people, but then all of a sudden people started to come in, had that spiritual gathering, and then Baba now gave more time to others instead of his wife and children. And so they had to let go of their insecurity. You know, my husband, you know, like giving more time to other people, other sisters and brothers, it is not so easy for any partner to accept this and to let go of that attachment. You know, and the amount of renunciation that Yashoda Mata has done is really immense. Let go of that attachment towards husband and children and to accept whoever is coming towards the end, it was 350 brothers and sisters, and to accept everyone belonging to their own family and to take care of them and to accommodate them in their house, they would need a very large heart. For Brahma Baba, it was a different thing because Shiv Baba entered in the body of Brahma Baba. So it was easy for Brahma Baba to have that big heart and to just allow everyone, accommodate everyone in his house. But then for the same, for these sisters to do the same, it was not so easy. Right? To understand, first is to understand what's happening, and then to have that big heart and to accommodate everyone, they need really a big heart. So that is a level of, you know, efforts or, you know, sacrifices that they have done. It's really immense. And you must have heard about Dadi Brijendra. She is the Laukik daughter-in-law of Dada Lekhraj. As I said, she is the daughter-in-law. She is the wife of Kishan Dada, the first son of Brahma Baba. And her Laukik name was Radhika. When Brahma Baba, you know, when Dada Lekhraj, he was just walking to the market one day and he saw this beautiful girl, you know, around like 10-12 years old girl with her friends, with her family and friends in front of a sweet shop. And she was wearing a beautiful hat. She was very attractive, and that was Radhika. And Dada Lekhraj looked at her and he had that thought in his mind, I want this girl as my daughter-in-law, as a wife of my elder son. Because Baba was attracted towards this girl so much. She was very pretty, very royal. Because Dadi Brijendra belonged to a very wealthy family, even wealthier than Brahma Baba's family. So after a few years, when Radhika became a little bit older, then Brahma Baba went to Brijendra Dadi's elder brother, because Brijendra Dadi didn't have father. So Baba went to the elder brother of Brijendra Dadi and asked for this relationship. I want your sister to be married to my son. So it's very interesting. Because her brother didn't know how wealthy Brahma Baba was. Brahma Baba was wealthy, he knew, but how wealthy he didn't know exactly. So he said, okay, there are two, three conditions. I'm okay to get my sister married to your son, but there are three conditions, he said. What are the three conditions? Then he said, because my sister has not done any work in my house, because we have lots of servants at our house. So that one condition is she will not cook. In those days, in 1930s, if a woman can't cook, they don't want a woman to cook, means how wealthy they must be, right? They would be having lots of servants at their house. I don't want my sister to get to cook. One condition. Second condition, he said, my sister will only walk on carpets. Means, your house should be completely carpeted. So that, you should be so, means indirectly, it is understood that you should be so wealthy. And thirdly, whenever she has to go out, she will have a private vehicle for herself. So they should be having 3-4 cars. So these were the three conditions that a brother put up. And Baba said, okay, it's okay, no problem. We have all those things and it's okay. So now, because Brijendra Dadi and her family lived in Hyderabad, Sindh Hyderabad. And then Baba once invited her brother to Calcutta, where Brahma Baba was living, and for her lunch. And invited him and showed him around the house, how wealthy they are and everything. And he showed every cupboard opened up and showed all the ornaments, all the jewels, all the diamonds, silver, everything. So then he understood how wealthy Brahma Baba was. And then they got married, and when Brijendra Dadi got married, so Brahma Baba also gave lots of ornaments and jewels to his daughter-in-law. So Miss Brahma Baba was very big-hearted. He was like, you know, for whenever they used to go visit any kings or queens in the palaces, he used to make sure that all his family members wore, you know, very royal clothes and lot of ornaments. They even wore more ornaments than the queens at that time. So that wealthy they were, and Baba had lot, you know, very large heart in that way. But gradually, when he started to become introvert and spend more time in tapasya, gradually Baba got detached from all these things, right? Then Baba started to see all these ornaments like stones. So Radhika or the Brijendra Dadi always used to be with Brahma Baba, used to serve Brahma Baba, be with Brahma Baba lot of times, and she was the one to have that scene, visualize the scene where Shiv Baba entered the body of Brahma Baba. There was a spiritual gathering happening. One guru had come in their house and he was giving a discourse, and everyone was sitting in the gathering. Even Brahma Baba and all his family members were sitting. And all of a sudden, Brahma Baba thought, okay, I need to go. Get up and go to my room. He went to his room. And Radhika also followed him. Why Baba got up? Because it is ill-mannered when anyone is giving a discourse, a guru is giving a discourse, and someone to get up and go, it's not a good manners. So Baba would never do that. Why did he get up and go? So Radhika followed Baba. Baba, he went in his room and sat, and Shiv Baba entered in his body. And the whole room became so lit up, and the voice started to come, Nijananda Swarupam Shivoham Shivoham, Prakash Swarupam Shivoham Shivoham. So as though someone from up above is saying something, and Brijendra Dadi is standing near the door of that room, and she visualized everything. And she could feel the light and might. And after that she explained how there was too much light and there was too much might coming out from the forehead of Baba, and it lit up the whole room. And after that, when this organization started and gathering started, people started to come and listen to the discourses of Brahma Baba, and Om Mandali started. Along with that, Brijendra Dadi also followed the footsteps of Baba and Yashoda Mata. And Baba never told her to let go of her ornaments or expensive clothes or nothing. Gradually, after a few months, she herself got that, disinterest, and gradually she, one day she put all her ornaments. You might be thinking how much ornaments she might be having, gold and, diamonds and all the jewels. She put everything, she put on a cloth, she put everything and tied it up like a bundle and gave everything away to the yagya, she surrendered everything and started to wear a very ordinary cotton clothes. So this was a very big shift to renounce their jewels. Renounce the ornaments was not a very small thing in those days. and the amount of renunciation these dadis have done. And when we look at ourselves, our renunciation is nothing compared to the amount they have done in their lives. Dadi also had children, you know, but then two sons Dadi had. One of them died very earlier in Karachi itself when the yagya started and everyone moved to Karachi, and he had smallpox and he passed away. And the second son, his name was Ghanshyam, and he came to Mount Abu also along with the yagya, but later on he also left body in Bombay. And his and her Laukik husband, elder son of Brahma Baba, he left the yagya earlier itself in Sindh, Hyderabad itself. He left Dadi Brijendra and he got married, a second marriage. But later on, when Brijendra Dadi, you know, when everyone came, the yagya came to Mount Abu, then Dadi was sent to Bombay for service. Dadi served in Science Center in Mumbai and she was in charge of Maharashtra zone. When Dadi was living in Science Center in Mumbai, a phone call came one day. And when one other sister picked up the call and she asked, "Who's calling?" And the other person said, "It's Kishan speaking. Is Brijendra there?" She was shocked. Because, you know, no one would say Brijendra. She was Dadi. She was a senior Dadi, right? So everyone would address her as Dadi Brijendra, right? So that person asked, "Brijendra is there?" Then he said, then Dadi came up on the phone and she came to know it's her ex-husband on the phone. And she said, "What do you want now?" You know, like, she was so detached from all the Laukik relationships. And he said, "I want to meet you." He said, "No, I don't want to meet you." And he was so guilty. He wanted to come and apologize Dadi, but she didn't allow him to come. And she was so detached from all the relationships. And that amount of penance and tapasya that the soul had done. Once, you know, in Madhuban, when she was visiting in Madhuban, one of the groups from South India, they had come and they wanted to meet Dadi. And they told to one of the sisters outside her room that, "We want to meet Brahma Baba's daughter-in-law." Dadi said, "Tell them that daughter-in-law is dead." But Dadi, why are you saying this? "Because, yeah, daughter-in-law is dead. I am the child now. I am Baba's child." So they had detached from all the Laukik relationships, Laukik connections, completely became Alaukik, very spiritual. That level of relationship was there with the yagya, with Baba as well. And then later on, Dadi left body in January 1990 in Madhuban itself. And always Dadi used to say that, you know, in the last birth, she was very near to Brahma Baba, right? Dada Lake Raj and later on Brahma Baba, she was very near to Brahma Baba. She always used to say that the whole of 84 births, I have been very near to the soul of Brahma Baba. And that's the reason. Even Avyakt Baba had told her once that she has been, the whole of 84 births, she was very near Brahma Baba's soul. So that's the reason in this last birth she was very near to Brahma Baba. So she was very, you know, pakka in her dharana, in her inculcations and penance. And the next person that we'll be speaking about is Nirmal Shanta Dadi, who is the Laukik daughter of Brahma Baba. Her Laukik name was Parvati. And Nirmashanta Dadi is the third child of Brahma Baba. And Dadi, when she has narrated few stories of her childhood, Baba used to give pocket money every day in the morning, you know, of 5 rupees, 3 rupees to all the children. Every morning Baba used to give money. And along with giving money, Baba would always say, don't spend the whole amount of money eating chocolates and biscuits. Give away the money in charity also, so that you will accumulate good karma in your this birth and your next births. So Dadi used to, she used to be very naughty. And she used to give away all her money in charity to any beggar or anyone. But then she wants to eat chocolates and biscuits also. So she used to go to the shop and buy everything for herself and say, my father will pay you. But she was never used to pay from her pocket money because she wanted to give everything in charity. So from the childhood itself, she had the sanskars of helping others, giving away things in charity. And she used to give away her ornaments also. If somebody is very poor and they want something, so she used to give her all her ornaments also in charity. She had a brother, right? Narayan Dada. Once they both went to the shop of Brahma Baba, and Brahma Baba was very busy, separating the diamonds. You know, he has to categorize different rated diamonds. He was busy doing his work, and they both came in and they just went and hugged Brahma Baba from behind. And all the diamonds that he was doing got scattered. And Baba never got angry with the children. Such expensive diamonds all get scattered, you know, like he never got angry. But he said, okay, why your children have come? Go. He gave them some sweets and asked them to go away. And that was already in the evening. So next morning, what happened? Baba used to every day take them for a morning walk. So these two children were very naughty. They said after 5 or 10 minutes of playing in that garden, they said, Baba, my stomach is paining, I want to go back home. So they both told Baba like this. So then Baba trusted them and allowed them to go back home. They asked the driver to drop them back home. So when they both came, because on the first floor was the shop and the next floor was the house. They both came to the shop. They knew because early in the morning, the cleaners will come and clean, and whatever jewels that is scattered, they will collect it and give it to Baba. They are very, very, very honest. So they'll give it to Baba. So before cleaning, they wanted to go and collect all the diamonds for themselves. So this is a plan they made. So they came back early and they collected all the jewels and they scattered all the things. They put up the table, you know, under the table and all these things. And they collected all the jewels and took away. And Baba, when he came back from work, he first used to visit the shop and then go to the house. So when he visited the shop, he saw all the furniture is scattered. Then he asked what happened. Like they said, that your children had come. They took away the jewels that were scattered. Diamonds, they went away. So Baba knew that these two people, Nirmashanta and Narayan Dada, they both have taken the jewels. So he didn't say anything. He freshened up and they sat for breakfast. And he's very clever, Baba. Baba said for Nirmashanta Dadi, Baba used to call her Palu. Palu daughter, do you know, nowadays our goldsmith is free. So we want to order some ornaments for you. Do you want any ornaments? Then Dadi, very happy, she said, I want a bangle, I want a buckle, I want this, I want that. She said, okay, then Baba asked Naren Dada, do you want something? Then he said, yes, I also want rings and things like that. So he said, okay, I think I have some diamonds too, but some diamonds are short, like, you know, I have less diamonds. So, child, do you have some diamonds with you? So that I can put everything and make lot of ornaments for you. Then Nirmal Shantadari said, very innocent. She said, yes, Baba, I have this, I have this. You know, she put whatever she had taken in the morning, she gave away everything to Baba. And Narayan Dada also, you know, very innocent, he also gave away everything to Baba. Baba, I want this. And Baba also kept up the promise. He made those ornaments and then gave it to the children. And again, how to take those ornaments back? He can't snatch, right? So give away. So otherwise the children will cry. Then he used to make the children wear everything, all the ornaments. And any customers, when they came, they used to see the ornaments on the children and they used to say, that is very good, make me that ornament for myself. So then Baba would, when the children would sleep at night, Baba used to take away all the ornaments from the children and give it to the customers the next day. Next day when the children would wake up, they used to cry, where's my ornament, you know, where's my bangle, where's my buckle and everything. So Baba used to tell them very sweetly, children, do you eat the food which has been cooked 2 days ago, cooked yesterday? Then the children would say, no, because it would be spoiled. We will always eat fresh food. Then Baba used to tell them, okay, even those ornaments are like, you know, like old, rotten ones now. You will get new designed ornaments. So Baba used to tell them with great love. So they used to accept, and Baba used to make new ornaments every time and give it to the children. But then again take it and give it to give the new one. So that way Baba used to give new things to them. But then as this spiritual gathering started to happen, Nirmal Shantadadi was already married to a very wealthy family, and she used to live with her husband and her in-laws. And whenever she used to visit Baba's house, she used to feel, why so many people at my house? Now Baba don't love me at all. He gives all the time to these brothers and sisters. He doesn't give time to me. And whenever Dadi used to meet Baba or Yashoda Mata, they used to give knowledge about soul, about, you know, all the dharanas and everything. So Dadi used to feel, both of them don't love me at all. She used to feel very sad. So one day when she came in the evening to visit Baba, she saw a group of girls, sisters. They had went in trance and they were dancing. And it was a very spiritual dance. It was not like a body conscious dance. It was like they were all into trance and the dance steps were very unique, very slow. And she was attracted, Nirmal Shantadadi was attracted towards these sisters. And she sat there for a while. And after these sisters came down from trance, Dadi started to speak to them and asked for their experiences, what your experiences are. And those sisters were so merged into that experience, they said, now I don't want to speak because I want to experience that. Can you come back tomorrow? I'll share this experience with you tomorrow, those sisters said to Dadi. So Dadi was curious. Dadi said, okay, tomorrow morning I'll come. So now, when she was going back home to her husband's house, Baba took her. Baba accompanied her. And while going, Dadi told Baba, Baba, I want to come back tomorrow morning. So please send the car for me to pick up. So Baba said, let's see tomorrow. what will happen. So Dadi got very hurt. Before, Baba would never tell like this. You know, Baba would always love her and always would give all the facilities that she used to ask for. And now Baba is saying that, let's see tomorrow what will happen, we don't know. So she got hurt. And she said, okay, don't send, I won't come. She got angry. So then Baba said, but we don't know now what will happen tomorrow. Let's see what will happen tomorrow. But Dadi got very angry, so she went and slept at night. And at night, all of a sudden, midnight, she got a vision of Krishna. And she woke up and sat. And she thought, okay, because maybe I'm angry with my father, this has happened. Again she slept. Again after a few minutes, again she got a dream of Baba again. A different, you know, Baba. Brahma Baba. So again she went, sat. And then later on, again after a few minutes, she slept again. And a third time again she got a vision of Shri Krishna and Baba, Shri Krishna and Baba in the dreams. And then she understood, okay, this is what is happening. My father is no more my father now. So he is getting transformed, he is becoming Krishna, he is the Krishna. So she realized that now. So from being my father, he is becoming the father of humanity. Right? So she understood that, and then she felt very bad that she spoke so harsh to her father. And then she thought, okay, tomorrow I'll go and apologize my Baba. So then she slept. But in the morning, she got so sick, her body became so heavy and sick, so she was not able to get up. And then she understood why Baba said as the day before that, let's see tomorrow what will happen. And so then she didn't go to Baba's house that morning. So in the evening, when she thought, okay, let me go in the evening, Baba himself came to Dadi's house and picked her up. And then onwards, Dadi started to go to this Om Mandali, to this spiritual gathering, and then onwards she started to follow all the disciplines. And along with the Yajna, she came here. And of course, in the initial time, the in-laws were very cooperative, okay, allowed her to go, but later on they started to bind her, or create obstacles, and gradually she left her child and her husband's house and came permanently to Baba's house and started to, you know, follow all the disciplines. And then later on, when Yajna came to Mount Abu, after a few days, Dadi was sent to Calcutta to serve, and she became the in charge of the Eastern Zone, Calcutta and Eastern Zone, the East India. And Dadi had asthma problem. And once when they were in Madhuban, Baba was still alive and she was not sent to Calcutta. The reason why she was sent to Calcutta was because Baba did business in Calcutta also. No? So it was called as Baba's Gaddi, the place of her Baba. So that's the reason Nirma Shanta Dadi was sent there. But before going there, when she used to live in Madhuban, she had the problem of asthma. And during beggary part, the Yajna didn't have money to spend on doctors. So whatever health issues that the people had in the Yajna, the trans messengers would go and bring message from Almighty Baba. They used to call Almighty Baba to Shiv Baba. So they used to bring message from Almighty Baba about the remedies, local remedies they used to, kitchen remedies they used to give. So for Nirma Shanta Dadi also, her asthma increased, And Brahma Baba asked one of the trance messengers to go to trance and bring message from Baba. And she went and brought the message and she said, Almighty Baba is asking Nirbhashanda Dadi to take bath in iced cold water. And you can just imagine a person who is having asthma, if that person takes bath in iced cold water, there are chances that soul can leave body, right? But then Baba was concerned. And then Baba said, okay, maybe there is some problem with this, you know, message. So go back again and bring back the message again. So she went back and brought the same message. The message remains the same. Baba wants her to take bath in iced cold water. So then Baba said, okay, go and give this message to Nirmal Shanta child. Then that sister gave the message to Dadi. And Dadi instantly said yes, because I am dedicated to Baba, I have surrendered to Baba. So if anything happens, so he is responsible. So instantly Dadi accepted, okay, I'll take bath in ice cold water. And during those days, Yagya didn't have refrigerator. So we didn't have ice blocks. So they brought it from the market. Then that got melted and water. From that water, they filled it in the bucket and put it in the bathroom. And Nirbhashanta Dadi was asked to sit in the bathroom. And this trans messenger sister who had brought the message, she was asked to put a mug of iced cold water on Nirbhashanta Dadi's head. So as she filled up her mug to put on the head of Nirbhashanta Dadi, her hand came like this. She was pulled into trance again. And then Baba gave the message that Nirbhashanta child has passed the test. You know, so this is how Baba used to test each and every soul. So in different things, whether in terms of, you know, faith, or in terms of courage, or in terms of accuracy. So Baba used to test, not Brahma Baba, but Shiv Baba, used to test each one in different ways. So sometimes when we think, okay, if this situation comes in front of us, like, will I be able to have so much faith that, okay, it's Baba's message and Baba is responsible. I'm ready to take bath in ice cold water. So it's a question for each one of us as well. Okay, how much faith do we have? It is because of the amount of faith and courage these dadis had. Dadis are dadis. They became dadis. Right? Yeah. So you see different pictures of Nirmal Shanta Dadi. And Brijendra Dadi and Nirmal Shanta Dadi used to, because in those days in Karachi, they had to do all the work, right? They had to do repairing of the vehicles, drive buses and trucks. So Nirmal Shanta Dadi and Brijendra Dadi, they used to take care of the cars. And they used to drive the buses also. And we see these dadis' dresses, you know, Baba made them to wear shorts, and, you know, all types of dresses to get rid of the body consciousness. You know, in those days, sisters would wear saris and put the veil in front of the face, right? So Baba never liked it. So in order to get rid of the body consciousness, Baba made them to wear these shorts and skirts and, you know, do all types of work. Never think that you're a kumari or you're a girl, that I can't do this work, I can't do that work. No. Everyone should do in every work. So Baba was the one who remove that body consciousness from all these souls. And the next person that we'll be speaking about is Anand Kishore Dada. Anand Kishore Dada's Laukik name was Lakshman. And Anand Kishore Dada had a shop in Calcutta near Baba's shop. And Anand Kishore Dada is a Laukik relative of Brahma Baba. And he was completely following Brahma Baba since his childhood. Baba helped him a lot in his business also. And the name of the shop is Ram Lakhan and Co. And the shop is still there in Calcutta, even now. A few feet away from Brahma Baba's shop there. And as Brahma Baba, when he wound up his business, when Brahma Baba wound up his business, Anand Kishore Dada also followed the footsteps of Brahma Baba, and he also wound up his business and gave away his, you know, whatever the thing for his, to his partner, whatever share he had to give, he gave away to his partner and came along with Baba to Karachi, and he stayed with the Yajna, and then he came to Pandabhavan here in Mount Abu, and till the end he was there in Pandabhavan along with Nirvair Bhai. He used to sit along with Nirvair Bhai in Nirvair Bhai's office. Speciality of Anand Kishore Dada is he was well educated, and he spoke well in English as well. And whoever double foreigners would visit Madhuban, Dada was the one who was to attend to them, speak to them in English, and whatever correspondence at that time was being done from the Yajna, so he used to take care of the correspondence and office work since the beginning itself. So the first delegation who went abroad in 1971 outside India was Prakashmani Dadi, Ratan Mohini Dadi, and Anand Kishore Dada. Three of them went to Japan first, and different other places they were invited, and they spent three, four months abroad visiting different places. So Anand Kishore Dada was sent because he knew English, and his English was very, like, you know, very perfect. So he was sent along with Dadis in the first delegation that went abroad. And also along with that, he also stayed with in Calcutta with Nirmal Shanta Dadi, doing different types of services as well, and even in Bombay. Once in Bombay, Vijendra Dadi prepared ice cream. In the olden days, you know, they didn't have refrigerator, but then somehow they learned different types of cooking. Then once she made an ice cream, and Anand Kishore Dada ate and wrote a letter to Baba. In those days, all the children used to write letter every day to Baba, what they had done throughout the day, you know, giving the news. And Dada wrote letter to Baba. Baba, ask Dadi to make ice cream once more. Why? Because while eating ice cream, I forgot to remember Baba. You know, like, because that's why, please ask Dadi to cook, to make ice cream once again. Then Baba wrote him back, you are the ocean of mistakes. Bulonka Sagar. You are the ocean of mistakes. If you continue to make mistakes, so she won't, you know, like, it's a, just a lovely, you know, conversation that they used to have with Baba. Means they didn't have that official connection with Baba, but it was a family connection, right? And Brijendra Dadi, Nirmal Shanta Dadi, of course they were family, but other few Didi, you know, Manmohini Didi, And all this, they had a very cordial relationship with Baba. They used to crack jokes and, you know, it was not like an official, oh, God is descending in Baba. And okay, of course, we had that respect, but then also they had so much of love and they used to crack jokes among themselves also. So it was a lovely family feeling at that time. Yeah, there were very few brothers in the yagya at that time. Only I think 4 dadas were there. And one of them was Anand Kishore Dada. All others were sisters. Yeah. So the next person that we'll be speaking of is Vishwa Kishore Bhau. And his Laukik name was Bhairu Dada. Vishwakishore Bhau is Brahma Baba's elder brother's son. And Dada used to work with Brahma Baba in Calcutta. And there was a retail shop near Brahma Baba's shop there. So it was a different, there were 3 shops. One belonged to Brahma Baba, another belonged to Anand Kishore Dada, and the third one belonged to Vishwakishore Bhau. So it was a family. So they all worked together. It was connected. And Baba helped him a lot in business as well. Dada was married to Santri Dadi. And they, both of them lived with Brahma Baba's family in his house. Even though he was given a separate small house, but they never lived there. Both of them lived with Brahma Baba's family in Calcutta. So when Brahma Baba wound up everything, Dada also wound up his business and came along with Baba to Karachi and then to Mount Abu. And Dada was taking care of all the yagya duties, whether it's stock or, you know, taking care of the stock, purchasing, taking care of health of anyone. So there were a lot of responsibilities that Dada was taking care of.
मुक्ति धाम तुम्हें जाना सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
And Baba had lot of trust on Vishwakishore Bhau, and Bhau's speciality was his level of purity was very high. Even whilst working amidst so many sisters, you know, his vision would be very pure, and that's the reason Baba had lot of trust on Bhau. And for everything, Dada used to say, "Yes, Ji Baba, yes Baba." He never said, you know, never went against Baba in any way. And Baba, because he had so much trust in Dada, Vishwakishore Dada, he used to scold him also, because you know, in a gathering, if some soul is very sensitive, and if Baba can't give teachings to that soul directly, what Baba used to do is in a gathering, Baba used to scold Vishwakishore Bhau, and Bhau would understand, okay, why Baba is scolding me without any reason. Because Baba wanted to give teachings to this soul, and indirectly Baba used to give teachings to the souls, but Baba would always use Vishwakishore Dada as a medium to give teachings. So because Baba knew that this soul is very powerful, very strong, even if I scold him amidst everyone, he will not get angry. Because the amount of love that they had for each other and faith that they had for each other, nothing else mattered in between them, between Baba and Bhau. So everything, when the whole yagya got shifted here to Mount Abu, so all the arrangements was done by Vishwakishore Bhau. He was sent before when Manmohini Didi finally finalized this place, then Dada was sent to make arrangements how the whole group can come, because to bring the whole group of 350 people, that was a huge task. So all the arrangements and everything was done by Vishwakishore Bhau, and then later on everyone got shifted here. And wherever Mamma or Baba traveled, Vishwakishore Bhau was always with them, to taking care of their arrangements, their health. And in during the final times, when Mamma used to live in Bombay for her treatment, Bhau was always there with her to take care of her. So he was very close to Mamma and as well as Baba, and also to the whole yagya as well. And one interesting thing happened was, there was a time when he got sick. He was unwell and he went to Bombay for checkup. And the doctors said, okay, we need to operate on you. But doctors are not available now. You'll be operated after 1 week. Then Vishwakishore Bhau thought, okay, why to waste time here? What will I do for 1 week in Bombay? So let me go to Mount Abu and spend time with Baba. So Ramesh Bhai was also in Bombay at that time. So Ramesh Bhai, and you see that picture there, right? Ramesh Bhai is also there in the picture. So Ramesh Bhai and Bhau and Santri Dadi, all the three came to Mount Abu, spend 1 week's time discussing about the yagya, finances, and all, many legal issues, everything, because Ramesh Bhai was a chartered accountant, and Dada used to take care of all the finance and everything of the yagya. So all the three people, you know, Baba, Dada and Ramesh Bhai, they all spoke about these illegal issues and everything for a week. And the time came to go to Bombay. It was afternoon, after lunch time. Baba used to eat all the three meals with Dada for that week. Baba gave lot of time to Vishwakishore Bhau, giving him lot of love and sustenance, having breakfast, lunch and dinner, discussing lot of issues. And that fine day, after lunch, when the car came in the courtyard and they put all the luggage in the car, they were about to leave, and Baba asked Ramesh Bhai to go and bring Chandrahas Dada, because Chandrahas Dada used to take care of photography, sound, all the technical department was taken care of by Chandrahas Dada. So Baba asked Ramesh Bhai to bring Chandrahas Dada, to bring camera to click a picture. So Ramesh Bhai thought, why, you know, like the one is, he must be resting now, Dada must be resting, and why Baba never thought, you know, before Baba used to never like taking photographs. If anyone wanted to take a photograph, Baba used to say, no, don't think of this body, you know, remember Shiv Baba, remember Shiv Baba. So Brahma Baba never liked taking photographs, but today Baba himself is calling Chandra's Dada to take a photograph. But Ramesh Bhai went and called him, and they took a photograph, and this was a photograph, very iconic and very memorable photograph, in the front of the car, Ramesh Bhai, Baba and Vishwakishore Bhau, they took this photograph, and then they left. All the three left, Bhau, Ramesh Bhai and Santri Dadi. And while traveling in the train, Ramesh Bhai asked Chandrahas Bhau, Vishwakishore Bhau, Bhau, why Baba asked to take a photograph, but Baba never liked taking a photograph. Why did he do this today? I was, you know, like really astonished. Then Vishwakishore Bhau said, you know, because Baba knows that I will not come back to Madhuban again, because I am going to leave my body. But Ramesh Bhai was shocked. Why? Like, you know, do you know that you are going to leave your body, and Baba knows that you are going to leave body? So Baba said yes. And that was the top secret that both of them knew, that, you know, Vishwakishore Bhau is going to leave body during this operation. After the operation, is not going to come back. That's the reason Baba gave so much time now, the whole week, so much of sustenance and love. That's because few days ago, I had requested Baba that, Baba, now that educated brothers and sisters have come, I want to take retirement. I want to go to the advanced party. Because in Bombay, Ramesh Bhai and Nirvair Bhai had started to come to Baba and taking knowledge. And in Delhi, Jagdish Bhai and Brijmohan Bhai had started to come. So they all were educated, and they were very efficient to take care of all the legal things and everything. So then that's the reason Vishwakishore Bhau requested Baba, Baba, now these educated brothers have come, let them take over the responsibilities. Now allow me to go to the advanced party. I want to take care of the responsibilities there. So Baba had agreed to it. And both of them knew that, you know, now Vishwakishore Bhau will not be coming back. And then they went to Bombay, got operated, And after 1 week of operation, you know, Vishwakishore Bhau left body there in Bombay. Then Ramesh Bhai called Baba, Baba, should we bring the body to Mount Abu for the cremation? Baba said, no, now the soul has left body. What's the use of bringing the body? So cremate in Bombay itself. The cremation was done in Bombay. So then Santri Dadi brought the message, offered bhog after the cremation and everything, and offered bhog and brought the message that Bhau actually wanted to leave body during operation itself. But Baba made him to stay in that body for next 5-6 days, because otherwise if the soul would have left body on the operation table, doctors would be defamed. You know, so that's the reason Baba didn't want to defame to happen for the doctors. So that's the reason Bhau left body after 5-6 days of operation. And Baba was very happy the level of service that the soul has done, and left body very, you know, not having suffering too much. So that soul, you know, is very, very special to the whole Yajna, very incognito, never gave any lectures or talks, but he was a foundation of the whole Yajna. These are great souls to be remembered in our lifetimes. And the next soul that we will be speaking of is Santri Dadi, the Laukik wife of Vishwakishore Bhau. Baba always used to call her as Santru Bachchi. Santra in Hindi is orange. And her face was round and, like, you know, very, you know, orangish color, like, you know, pink color. So that's the reason Baba used to call her Santru daughter, Santru child. And she had a lot of love for Baba. So since childhood, she was with Baba's family, serving them there in Calcutta in the Laukik life as well. But later on, when the Yajna started, she started to go in trance and bring messages. And Santri Dadi was a personal messenger of Brahma Baba. Anything that Brahma Baba wanted to ask Almighty Baba, it was through Santri Dadi always. She was not an official, because, you know, any personal, very confidential things that Baba wanted to ask, so it was always through Santri Dadi. So she knew many secrets of the Yajna, many confidential things about the Yajna, because of that personal messages that she used to bring for Brahma Baba. So along with it, she was like sort of like a Brahmani to Brahma Baba, along with Lachu Dadi. She used to take care of Brahma Baba, everything, food and everything in Madhuban, in Pandav Bhavan. But along with that, she used to take care of the store and everything. But when Baba left body, on 21st of January 1969, Bab Dada descended in her body first. Because when Brahma Baba left body on 18th of January, everyone had a question mark. Now what will happen in the future? How will Baba meet everyone? You know, everyone had thought that, okay, Baba will be alive until the end of confluence age. Now, no one thought that Brahma Baba will leave body. So, when Baba left body, they had a question mark. Like, how will the meeting happen? What will happen? So, after the cremation on 21st of January, when bhog was offered, 3-4 dadis who were sandeshis, who were trans messenger, they sat down, and Bab Dada, both of them entered in the body of Santri Dadi first, and then spoke about what the future will be like, and you know, so gave many all the future decisions, what will happen in the future. So she was such a pure soul, in spite of, you know, like she was a mother. She didn't have any children, but she was married, right? But even then, she was so pure. And that's the reason, you know, for Almighty authority, for Bab Dada to enter a body is not a small thing, right? So Baba using her body means she was such a pure soul, very honest in her heart. So she was so beautiful, she was so honest and dedicated, surrendered in her intellect as well. But beautiful things happened in the successive days to come, during January itself. Then the question rose. Now, okay, whose body will Bab Dada come now, in the future, for every day? So Santri Dadi said, okay, I don't want Bab Dada to come in my body. So, you know, everyone was astonished. You know, to say no for Baba to come, that was a big thing. So everyone would want that to happen. Okay, Baba, if Baba chooses my chariot, my body. So that's a thing of pride. It's a thing of, you know, great privilege. But Dadi said, no, I don't want Bab Dada to come in my body. Why? Because no one will have faith in Baba, because I know everything. I know all the confidential things of Baba. So if Baba would come and speak, people might have doubts. Okay, she's pretending. So they would not have faith that Baba will be coming in her body. So that's the reason. See, you know, like instead of putting themselves ahead, they always thought of the yajna. What is beneficial to the yajna? What is beneficial to the people? So they never put themselves ahead. They always put the yajna in front. So because of the yajna, she just withdrew herself from becoming Bab Dada's chariot. And then a few others were asked, you know. Everyone refused for their own reasons. And then later on, Gulzar Dadi was asked. Okay, then Dadi said, okay. You know, like if the seniors would say, then it's okay. If anyone wants to play this role also, it's okay. You know that Gulzar Dadi is very detached. Whatever Baba says, that's okay with me. So then the seniors and Baba together, they decided, okay, now onwards, Gulzar Dadi will be the official chariot for Bab Dada to come and meet. So that was a decision made. So this was a great renunciation that the Dadis did. Then later on, Baba, when he used to come and meet, Baba gave this message, see, this yajna is built on the sacrifices, great sacrifices that these souls have made. Yajna wouldn't be yajna in this form without the sacrifices these souls have done. See, so these are the renunciates, the great tapasvis that we had as our ancestors. We are so fortunate to have these souls as our ancestors. Baba says, no, this is a family, right? This is our global family. And to know how great our ancestors were is a thing of a pride. You know, even in the Laukik world, if we say, okay, my forefathers were so great, my grandfather, my grandmother was so great. So to say our ancestors was a great, I belong to that lineage. So now here, when we understand how great our ancestors were, and to have that deep feeling, I belong to that lineage, right? So we need to understand their ancestors, then only we have that deep feeling for them, right? So after that, when Brahma Baba left body in 1970, Baba asked Santri Dadi to go to Calcutta along with Nirmal Shanta Dadi, and both of them served in Calcutta. And in 1990, in January, Nirmal Shanta Dadi left body. In December, Santri Dadi left body in Madhuban itself. And she had come in December to meet Baba. And one fine day on Thursday morning during Amrit Vela, she was just sitting there in her room meditating. And in meditation, she left body without any pain, without any, anything. So just, that was her last breath in Madhuban. And later during that day, when bhog was offered after cremation, Baba gave a beautiful message that the soul has done a lot of service in the yajna. She had cleared all her karmic accounts, and she was very simple. So she left body without any hassles or any pain. So yeah. The next, I think, maybe we will just speak about Manmohini Didi, and then we will finish the session here itself. So Manmohini Didi and Prakashmani Dadi, we all must have heard that they were like two bodies and one soul. Means they were always together. Their decisions were the same. They never had difference of opinion. And Manmohini Didi's Laukik name was Gopi. And Didi belonged to a very rich family. She was married. And since her childhood, she was very independent. She wanted to be very independent. And in spite of belonging to a very wealthy family, she wanted her money of her own. She wanted to earn her own money. So she started tailoring classes. So there was no necessity to earn. But, her logic was very different. She thought, okay, if I earn my own money and use that money in charity, she didn't want to use that money for her own facility, buying her own facilities, but she wanted to use that money in charity so that she'll multiply her fortune. So for that reason, she used to earn through tailoring. She used to stitch clothes. And when Brahma Baba's elder son's Brijendra Dadi's marriage was happening, Manmohini Didi stitched very beautiful dresses for the family, and she used to do it since then. That's the reason the families, Brahma Baba's family and Manmohini Didi's family, knew each other during those days itself. So when the spiritual gathering happened, Didi and with her mother sat to visit Baba's Om Mandali, and since then itself she used to get the visions of Krishna. Her name was Gopi, so she used to get the visions of Krishna. She never had visions as such, but she had deep feelings of Krishna, being a Gopi of Krishna. So since then, it was like a smooth sail for her. It was instantly she had that attraction towards Baba and towards the knowledge, and she started to follow this path. But her Laukik husband and the family was so popular in that area. Initially they didn't have any issue, but then later on during after a few months, when the issue of purity arose, Prakash Mani Dadi's elder sister, Sati, when her husband came from abroad, and the issue of purity arose. And then it triggered like a fire in the whole of the society. And anti-Om Mandali started. And all these eminent people gathered together and they started to say, no, you have to shut down this Om Mandali. Because otherwise, all this issue of purity is coming up. So the Laukik family of Manmohini Didi was also involved in that Om Mandali, anti-Om Mandali issue. And when they saw in this picketing, you must have heard about picketing where the whole popular people, all these men came to attack Om Mandali. And Baba made all these sisters and small children to stand there in the entrance, sitting there, so that they couldn't attack. They won't attack on the small children. So they were standing there, and Manmohini Didi was also standing there. Looking at that, the family, her Laukik family, became much more furious. You are going against us. So then there was a little bit of, difference of opinion, and they said, okay, now then Didi thought, okay, this is the time to separate. And she left her Laukik house, and she came to Baba and started to live with Baba since then. And in the yagya, she used to take, because her intellect was very clean, very clear. Her ability to discriminate, to understand the souls was very sharp. Looking at this person, just for 5 minutes, she would understand the quality of the soul. What's the level of purity or the level of spirituality the soul is holding, she would understand. She had that very sharp intellect. Didi never gave classes or read Murli, but in terms of interaction or making decisions in the yagya, her decisions were very accurate, very powerful. So when in Karachi, when the partition happened and the India and Pakistan partition happened, and they were living in Karachi, the time came when they wanted to come to India, to Bharat. So then Baba said to Manmohini Didi, okay, you go first to your relatives, because her relatives were living in Bombay. Very eminent, very rich, very wealthy people. So they asked them to invite Didi, and they invited Didi first to India, and she came to India, and then she was asked to look for different places so that the whole group can come to India. So then Didi, along with 2-3 sisters, she visited different places in India, in Pune, Ahmedabad, and also she came to Mount Abu. And she spoke to Baba about all these places on the phone. And she explained that, okay, Baba, this in Mount Abu, I like this place because it's very calm, no much traffic, no pollution. So it's very good place for us to do tapasya. Then Baba asked Shiv Baba. So then Baba also gave green signal, okay, now the whole group can shift to Mount Abu. So the decision was taken, and then Vishwakishore Bhau was sent to make the arrangements, and then the whole group was shifted here to Mount Abu. And before that also, when the yagya started and Dadis and Didis, they were coming to Om Mandali. In between, Baba used to go to different places for his own spiritual understanding on a deeper level. So Baba visited Kashmir with his family, because all this, you know, issues were arising, all these anti-Ahmadli issues were happening. So Baba wanted some time out for himself. So Baba, with his family, he went to Kashmir, and he used to write letter every day to few sisters who were taking care of Om Mandali. In that group, there was Mamma, there was Manmohini Didi, there was Prakashmani Dadi, Shantamani Dadi. So there were few sisters who were taking care of Om Mandali. So Baba used to write letters every day to different person every day and give directions. Okay, do this, do that. And through directions itself, through the letters itself, Baba gave directions to open up a hostel for children by these benches. You know, every detailed directions Baba used to write. And Mamma and all these didis did everything and opened this hostel and school for children. And Manmohini Didi was the main instrument to be part of that thing during the initial days of Om Mandali. And then after Baba left body in 1969, Prakashmani Dadi and Manmohini Didi became the heads of the organization. Prakashmani Dadi was the chief of the organization. Manmohini Didi became the additional chief of the organization. And then Didi took care of Northern India, Delhi, Allahabad and Northern India. And Prakashmani Dadi took care of the Southern India, Bombay and Southern centers of India. Because Prakashmani Dadi was living in Bombay when Baba left body, right? So she was invited, and Didi was taking care of Delhi. So that's the reason it was divided, like Didi will take care of North India, Dadi, Prakashmani will take care of the southern part of the India, Bombay and southern part of the India. So when Baba, in January, there was a Kumbh Mela, big Mela happening in Allahabad. Baba sent Manmohini Didi to Allahabad for that Mela. And that was the time when Baba left body on 18th of January. At that time, Manmohini Didi was not in Madhuban. And later on, when she came to know that Baba left body, when she was not around in Madhuban, she felt very bad, because she was very close to Baba and she was not around. She felt very bad, but then came back. All the cremation happened, and when Baba said, okay, Prakashmani Dadi will be the head of the organization. So might be, you know, that was a time she could have become head of the organization, but Baba chose Prakashmani Dadi. But because of the tapasya and the renunciation that they had done, they accepted Baba's decision. And there, Didi also respected Prakashmani Dadi on that level. Just imagine, Baba was here and all the Dadis were just, you know, on the next level. Everyone were looking up towards Baba. But now Baba left body and one of the Dadis was picked and placed in the place of Brahma Baba. It was very difficult for the Dadis to accept it, but because of their immense love for Baba, they accepted the decision that Baba had made, and they gave that amount of respect to Prakashmani Dadi. This was not a small thing for even for Manmohini Didi, right? Because she was very close to Baba, but then they all accepted it. And then, you know, everything went on very smoothly. But if that happens now, I don't think it will happen to the level that happened very smoothly during those days. It wouldn't happen, right? That happened because of all these great souls, I can say. And in 1986, Manmohini Didi left body. She had a tumor in her brain and she got operated in Bombay. And after that operation, during that operation itself, she left body. It was a 50-50 chances. Doctors had already told that, okay, it's good to get operated, but it's a 50-50 chance. She can survive or not. But the Baba told, okay, go for an operation. So, but during that operation, Didi left body. And, you know, the Yagya people had so much love for Didi, they started to blame the doctor. So after Didi left body, after cremation, when Baba Vabdada came in Om Shanti Bhavan, Baba said, gave a very beautiful message. It is neither the mistake of Bhagwan or Bhagwati. Bhagwan is God. Bhagwati was the name of the doctor. So Baba said, it is neither the mistake of Bhagwan or Bhagwati. It is in the drama that the soul had to leave for advance party. So Didi left body in the year 1986. And Didi and Dadi were always together with Mama. So Baba trained these two souls since the beginning to be that administrative heads of the organization in the future. Yeah. So these are the few stories about these great souls. Okay. Om Shanti.
Shine for the sake of the.